want to get right back to what is unfolding in Alabama right now. This is what Justice Moore had to say.
When they're being told that they must do a certain thing that violates their oath to the Constitution of Alabama and the Constitution of the United States, then I must take action to prevent that intrusion by the federal courts into the jurisdiction of the state courts.
You know, a lot of people are drawing the comparisons and defying something from the federal level. There are perhaps some comparisons, but boy, it's nothing like back in the bad old days.
It is important that the people of this state and nation understand that this action is in violation of rights reserved to the state by the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Alabama. While some few may applaud these acts, millions of Americans will gaze in sorrow upon the situation existing at this great institution of learning.
Yeah, I've heard a ton of comparisons, but boy, let's remember that the judge himself and certainly the governor of Alabama, not down on any courthouse steps. We do not have, you know, police in the streets. We don't have blackjack-wielding state troopers who are keeping people from the courthouses. So let's keep this in perspective. But still, this is huge. And This technically, legally, constitutionally is out of my league, so I'm very pleased that Carl W. Tobias could join us. Professor holds the prestigious Williams Chair, has written numerous articles, author of over 120 law review articles, author or co-author of more than 80 essays, commentaries, and shorter works in law reviews. He's written opinion pieces for Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, Christian Science Monitor, and we're delighted to have Professor Tobias joining us here at KSL News Radio. Professor, welcome, and your reaction to what is unfolding in Alabama, perhaps you could put it in perspective for us.
Well, thank you for having me on. I've tried to follow that and talked a lot with the local reporters and followed what Chief Justice Moore has been doing as well as the probate judges. And I think it is fair to say that Alabama has been more resistant to implementing the federal judge's decision than any other state. And I think the probate judges are really feel like they're caught in the middle between Chief Justice Moore and, you know, his order on Sunday night suggesting that they should not issue the licenses, and then the federal judge's order about 10 days ago, or her opinion 10 days ago, basically saying that the ban was invalid. And so that's where we are. So in fairness, a number of probate judges, especially in the bigger cities like Montgomery and Huntsville and other places, Birmingham, I think are issuing licenses. And so that's part of the perspective I think you talked about. And we'll see what happens in the coming days. But I think most people believe these difficulties will be resolved fairly soon.
Our state, I thought it was interesting what you said about Alabama, because that's my perception, too, that I have not seen any state resist, certainly to this point. Here in the state of Utah, they vigorously at the state level took our Amendment 3 through the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals and everything else. But when a decision came down, our Attorney General, Sean Reyes, our Governor, Gary Herbert, said we abide by the law of the land. And even though we disagree with the decision or whatever the case might be, but that has not been the case with Judge Moore. The interesting thing, too, is the governor. The governor has come out, and I thought it was an interesting statement that he said he would not met out any penalty to the probate judges, that there would not be any kind of punishment. I'm not quite sure what he's saying there.
Well, I think that in the Sunday night letter or order that Chief Justice Moore sent, he suggested that the governor might impose some sanctions on some of the probate judges if they were to issue licenses. But I'm not sure the governor has any authority to do that. There may be a statute that says the governor has some authority over those probate judges and could punish them for not doing whatever the governor thinks is their duty. But I think that was part of their feeling in the middle. And so at least the governor's clarified that to some extent. But I think there are difficult issues involved. And I agree with you about Utah and a number of other states. The governors and attorneys general in Michigan and various states around the country have vigorously litigated the issues, but once the highest courts have spoken, then they have gone ahead and tried to implement as best they can the new regime.
Mm-hmm. Professor, we so appreciate you joining us. For those who just tuned in, from the University of Richmond School of Law, Professor Carl W. Tobias. We will take just a brief break. We'll come back and continue our conversation with the professor here on today's Doug Wright Show at KSL News Radio.
Doug Wright, interrupting everything to cover breaking news. You'll hear it first on KSL News Radio.
Federal courts have no jurisdiction, not only under the Constitution, but under their own federal rules of procedure.
It's an interesting scenario in Alabama. For those who are just joining us from the University of Richmond School of Law, Carl W. Tobias is on the line with me. What do you predict is going to happen? I can only imagine the confusion. I can remember just before Christmas a year ago, the confusion that happened here in the state of Utah and people just scrambling. Okay, what do we do when the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, Judge Shelby, made our Amendment 3, struck it down, and there was a period of time between December 23rd and just a breath after the beginning of a new year where people were legally being married, gay couples here in the state of Utah. But at least we were all on the same page. We didn't have this situation where some counties were and some counties weren't. The very first day there was a little confusion on that, but very quickly things fell into place. What do you predict will happen in Alabama?
Well, I think over time, people will be able to get married, even in some of those locales where the probate judges are not now issuing licenses. And I believe they can go to other counties. It's inconvenient. But I think in something like 40% of the population lives in counties or cities where the probate judges are issuing the licenses, and I think eventually most all of them will come into line. And I think already the plaintiffs in the major litigation have gone back, and new plaintiffs have asked the judge who initially struck down the legislation and the ban to hold the judges, some judges, in contempt who are not issuing licenses. So I think there will be remedies, and I think most of the judges will come around, and hopefully soon. And so I think we'll have less chaos. But, of course, because the Chief Justice is still pursuing his view, I can understand how some probate judges would be reluctant to issue the licenses. And so, again, I think they feel they're caught in the middle.
Could there be any consequences for Chief Justice Moore? He's been on the receiving end of some discipline in the past. Let's put it that way. I think it was, if I remember correctly, 2003.
I think that's right. I think he wouldn't remove the Ten Commandments from the court building when he was under a federal court order. There could be. I think they've always, the plaintiffs and others associated with the plaintiffs have filed an ethics complaint with the state bar. Don't know if that will go anywhere. But if there's eventually a direct confrontation with the federal judiciary, it's conceivable that some kind of sanction might be imposed, but hopefully it won't come to that. There's a doctrine called comity where the federal and state courts try to work out these kinds of differences. And we haven't seen that much in the same-sex marriage equality cases, but it has happened in some states like Kansas and others. And by and large, the state judiciary has deferred to the federal in these situations.
When I look at the number of states now, and if you count Alabama, 37 states, so not only a clear majority of the 50 states in the District of Columbia, but also, as you just did a moment ago, take the population of the country that is now affected by those 37 states. It is huge. It is just a vast majority of Americans are now in a state under the rule of law that does allow same-sex marriages. And back when Utah was dealing with this, I can remember talking with people on both sides of the issue saying, boy, the signals are clear from the court. It's hard to imagine that they would let these roots go down, that they would let this happen if there wasn't pretty much an idea that at some point gay marriage would be generally legal in the United States of America. And many people who read the tea leaves, including Clarence Thomas himself, who was complaining yesterday in the dissenting opinion, this may well be seen as a signal of the court's intended resolution of that question, referring to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, a decision that is coming up. I cannot imagine, and many people have speculated or pontificated a bit about, they just can't imagine that the Supreme Court would back away from this now.
Well, I think that's correct. And I think really the most important decision came on October 6th when the Supreme Court denied the certiorari request to review the Fourth Circuit, the Tenth Circuit, in which you sit, and the Seventh Circuit appeals, because that was the first signal that people could get married in some 15 jurisdictions of those circuits, which meant that there would be tens of thousands of people being married before the Supreme Court would ultimately resolve the merits of the issue. And as you suggest, it just doesn't make any sense to allow all those people to be married and then issue a final decision that says, no, marriage equality is not the rule. And so it does seem that the Supreme Court is headed in that direction, but you never know until the decision has been issued. So I think everything is going to be fine. And as you probably remember, there was a recognition suit in Utah for those 1,000 couples, and they won that suit.
Yes.
Judge Kimball, as I remember, wrote a very fine, persuasive opinion. And then the judge in Michigan, Goldsmith, wrote a very similar decision as to the 300 couples there. And so we've got two rulings on the books that people married at the time when it was legal to be married will have their marriages recognized. So even were the Supreme Court to not reach the merits ultimately or to uphold the Sixth Circuit and affirm it and not provide national marriage equality, still, I think everyone married will have their marriages recognized.
As far as the Supreme Court, sometimes they just, those big, big decisions, the decision that everybody's waiting for, tends to be the very, very last that they let out of the chute just before they adjourn in mid to late June. Do you anticipate that will be the case on the Sixth Circuit case?
I think that's pretty likely. They took it very late in the term. You know, it takes a while to move a case through the system. You have to have briefing, which is ongoing now. Then you have to have oral argument, which is scheduled, I think, in late April, one of the last arguments. And then the justices have to write the opinion. And if you're going to have dissents, that takes so much longer. And when it's controversial, like everybody else, the Supreme Court leaves the most controversial things to the end. So I think we won't see much before June. Probably late June, one of the last opinions. And it's likely to be splintered with some dissents and maybe multiple dissents. So I think that's pretty much where we are. The other point that you raise, or at least implicitly, is the whole point about popular opinion and how many states now have marriage equality. And I think the court is reluctant and individual justices are reluctant to get out too far ahead of popular opinion. And I think that has, to some extent, moved this issue along. Popular sentiment has changed,
yeah,
and quite swiftly. And so the court likes to follow public opinion because it's an unelected branch of the government and serves for life. And so I think the justices feel their credibility would take a hit if they were too far out in front of the populace.
Professor, I so appreciate your willingness to share your expertise and your time with us. Thank you for your insights.
Thank you.
Professor Carl W. Tobias, University of Richmond School of Law. He is the Williams Professor of Law. That's a very prestigious chair at the University of Richmond.